We're just so thankful and honored to be able to have this time to remember our grandma and mother and great grandma. And she has exchanged her old rugged cross for a crown. And we are so filled with joy to know that she is not here with us today, but with Christ right now, as even as I'm speaking. Velma Romero, 87, stepped into the presence of her Lord and Savior on Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. She was a resident of Rock Springs for 59 years and a former resident of Kemmer, Wyoming. Grandma was born January 25th, 1935 in Kemmer and grew up in Diamondville. She was the daughter of August and Katrina Sagala Barino. Her father came to work in America from Lugo da Vinci, Mortizia, Italy in 1910 and her mother from Deauville, Italy in 1913. They were married January 10th, 1915, and began their family here. Grandma was the youngest of nine siblings, having an older twin brother and a set of twins who died at birth. Grandma had beautiful blue eyes and a red tint to her curly brown hair, so much so that her nickname was Rusty. Grandma had a quiet nature and an easygoing personality, and rarely did she complain. But once in a while, her ornery streak came through, and I think it's probably more apt to say that oftentimes her ornery streak came through. She had a sweet smile. She was a bit of a practical joker. She had a mischievous sparkle in her eye whenever she was about to prank or tease, making everybody laugh all the time. And she had that mischievous twinkle in her eyes a lot of the time. She was always doing stuff like that. Her favorite color was blue, and she loved yellow roses. Grandma attended schools in Kemmer, played the school tuba, as I was told it was literally the tuba that the school had. So she didn't just play the tuba, she played the one tuba that the school had. She played the tuba and graduated from Kemmer High School in 1953, where after that she worked at the Sugar Bowl in downtown Kemmer. And in the evening, she found time to chase Grandpa around, which she told us about quite a lot. And she chased him around the triangle in Kemmer until she finally did catch him. And they were married June 7th, 1958. At St. Patrick's Church in Kemmer. After that, they moved to Rock Springs in 1963, and Grandma came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior in 1987. She was baptized in the Green River August 12, 1990. After that, she served as a secretary for a time at Grace Baptist Church and later became a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, where she and my grandpa renewed their wedding vows for their 40th anniversary. Grandpa preceded her in death on April 18th, 2011. Grandma's interests included personal reading. She was always reading books, as well as reading to all of us kids from a cabinet full of books that she had that we would just run over there and open it up. I'm sure all you guys remember dumping out that cabinet in the kitchen and reading all of her books. She also enjoyed playing cards and teaching the grandkids and great-grandkids go fish, poker, rummy. And if you won by chance, you were automatically a cheater. It didn't matter what it was. You could never win. She introduced her family to delicious traditional, new, and as well as handed-down recipes. She often told entertaining stories and rhymes and songs that were Italian mixed with English that her mother told her, which are still being retold and passed down to each generation today. Her survivors include one son, Stephen Romero, and wife, Lisa, of Rock Springs, two daughters, Chris Folks and husband, Larry Folks, of Salt Wells Ranch, Cindy Scarlin and husband, Jeff, of Rock Springs. She had 11 grandchildren, Tracy Hager and husband Nathan, Chris Bullington and wife Kimberly, Nicole Elliott and husband Bob, Daniel Romero and wife Allegra, Ryan Romero and his companion Brianne, Hannah Romero, Ben Folks and his wife Candy, Aaron Folks and Dana Yeager, Jared Folks and wife Taylor, Jessica Groom and husband Derek. And Grandma also had 27 great-grandchildren and one great-great-granddaughter. Quite a legacy. Grandma was preceded in death by her parents, husband, and one daughter, Barbara Bullington, three brothers, August Barino, Ernest Barino, and Lino Barino, and three sisters, Katie Hangich, Dora Stevenson, and Vivian Barino. Grandma was a precious lady who will be greatly missed and frequently remembered, with full joy and complete hope, knowing that though she's absent from this body, she is at home with Christ, and one day we will be with her again. We are going to sing a special song for Grandma that was one of her favorites. It is Well. Attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well,
it is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear. No more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as I scroll.
The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Singing makes me more nervous than talking right now, to be honest with you. I'm glad that part's over. I'm honored and humbled to be part of Grandma's funeral, It was a rare privilege for me as a pastor in the family, not only to get to preach the funeral of my grandfather years ago, but now to do the same for my grandmother, to be able to speak formally the final words of about a loved one's life. It's a daunting task, but it is a rare honor. It's a rare honor. I loved this woman so much, as I know many of you did as well. As I told my church two Sundays ago when Grandma started really declining and I moved mountains by the grace of God to get up here to see her one last time, I told her that I loved all of my grandparents, and I did. And I got to be a part of every single one of their funerals. But I think every grandchild has that one grandparent. And this was that one grandparent for me. She was the grandparent. She was the one that I was going to go to. She was the one that I was with all the time. She's the one that I thought about all the time. Grandma Romero, as I called her, was the grandparent for me. It's been said in the last week multiple times as memories have been shared about Grandma that to know her was to love her. I don't know anybody that didn't love this woman who didn't know her to some degree. As distant relatives were notified about her passing, there was a constant refrain of, "I have nothing but good memories of Velma." That's the truth. I have nothing but good memories of Velma. And that is true for so many. Grandma, even up until her final moments, was what I would call the strong, silent type. She was a fighter. That feisty side came from some deep strength. But she was silent. Grandma didn't like a lot of attention. In fact, she would hate what we're doing right now in sharing things about her. She did not like that, but she was the strong, silent type. But you can't let that silence fool you, because you may not have known this about her, but Grandma missed very little about what was going on, and she had thoughts about all the things that were going on. And if you know, you know, right? Grandma had some things. She was a funny lady. She had an incredible sense of humor. One of the stories she told all of us for years was how in like the first few days of her marriage to my grandfather, she cooked him rubber eggs for breakfast without telling him, just to pull a prank on him. Grandma was always pulling pranks and had a great sense of humor. I remember years ago, Grandpa was having surgery in Casper. We were staying there. A lot of the family was there, and we were in the hospital visiting Grandpa, and we were going out, and because it was a long walk, Grandma was in a wheelchair. And to avoid talking to anyone, Grandma just pretended she was asleep with head down, mouth open, all the way out of the hospital, and then laughed about it when she got out. Grandma was all about the jokes. She didn't mind joking at all. I was told that during COVID, when she couldn't be seen except through the window there at the nursing home, that she would make faces back and forth with Tracy's kids and was going back and forth through the window making faces because she had such a great sense of humor. She was quick to laugh. She was always ready to smile. Grandma had an excellent sense of humor, and along with that sense of humor came a lot of stories. My grandparents were storytellers, Grandpa and Grandma. They told a lot of stories, and we loved to listen to them tell them in their living room, around their table, around the campfire, during the good old family camping trips that we used to take so often. And Grandma would tell us stories of her childhood and her family. She would tell us of how she handled some problematic twins in her neighborhood that were bothering her. And again, if you know, you know. She would tell us about some basketball players that needed to be taken care of because they were picking on her. She would tell us old Italian stories that I've been refreshed on this past week, like Tuffalo Molo and Gallafetto, right? And several Italian nursery rhymes, which I don't think anybody fully knows exactly what they mean, but Grandma would say them all the time. And Grandma was never short of old wives' tales to share. For instance, if you play in the fire, you'll pee the bed. And then if you pee in the road, you'll get a sty in your eye. I don't know what was going on with those stories that she said, but she said them all the time. Some of my earliest memories of Grandma were her stories, some I've mentioned, and countless books that she would read to us from the cabinet that was just strewn with children's books that we would go and get, and she would read them to us at our desire. She would read all manner of children's stories. She was a storyteller, and they often had us laughing. But Grandma was more than just a good sense of humor and a great storyteller. She had a deep love for her family. Grandma loved her family. She loved her children. She loved her grandchildren. She loved her great-grandchildren. And I don't know if it was the Italian in her, but Grandma had this Olive Garden theme going on in her house. And when you were there, you were family. I mean, that's just the way it was. She'd cook for you. She'd invite you in. She made all the friends and significant others, and then eventually the in-laws, feel welcomed at her home. For the grandkids, there were very few things, if any, that she wouldn't do for us, right? Like, to a fault. If you wanted it, Grandma would make it happen. I mean, anything from taking walks to the Nomad Inn, to the Daylight Donuts when it used to be there, to play under the underpass right off of Elk Street, if we so desired to do it. She always had an unending supply of food for when we were hungry, which was constantly. Ramen noodles, I think, actually were manufactured in my grandma's home. Hot dogs. And there were always saltine crackers for her to make panah, because we love that panah. It seemed that there was a constant supply of freshly cooked chocolate chip cookies in the old monk cookie jar that you could find them in. At all the holidays, Grandma was up before the sun, cooking a feast for all of the family to come together and consume later. Walking into her house was just a thing, right? It was like it was everybody's house. You never knocked. If anyone ever knocked to go in their house, you just didn't know where you were, because you just walked in to Grandma's house because it was everybody's home at that point. Grandma never missed a birthday party, a family celebration, and for years she hosted at her house every Thanksgiving and Christmas gathering. The memories that we have of this woman and her home. She was a selfless lady. She was a selfless lady. She would do anything for her family. Aunt Cindy even shared with me that she went all the way to Salt Lake City with her to watch the re-release of Star Wars, not because Grandma was a huge Star Wars fan, but because she loved Aunt Cindy and Aunt Cindy wanted to see it. Grandma would do anything for those that she loved. She loved us deeply, and sometimes that love was dangerous. I believe myself and, by the grace of God, Nicole are here because Grandma loved us so much that when camping at the Sweetwater River, she tried to prevent us from going in the water, but actually tackled us into the water with her, which was a big deal because my grandma was deathly afraid of water. So her love could be even dangerous at times. But even up to her last moments of lucidity, just last week, she would mouth and even whisper, "I love you," to those that would walk in the room that she would see, because she had so much love for her family. Grandma not only had a good sense of humor, loved to tell stories, and loved her family deeply, she was a strong woman. As I said earlier, she was the strong, silent type, and Grandma lived by the grace of God to be 87 years old. The Bible says in Psalm 90, the years of our life are 70, or even by reasons of strength, 80. And Grandma lived to 87. She was a strong woman. She was a woman who endured hard times in her life, yet she did it with strength. And because of that strength, she was able to walk through life, even the hardest of seasons, with humor and with love. Even in her last days of life in the nursing home, when she was in pain and in and out of sleep, those moments of clarity that she had, she would look at us, and she would smile, and she would wave at you. Even in those final moments, she was a strong woman. She will be greatly missed. And this afternoon, I want to comfort you with truth. I want to comfort us with truth. And this truth that I want to comfort us with is that for those of us who know Christ Jesus as our Savior, as Grandma did, for us, while we grieve her absence this morning and in the days to come, while we miss her and will continue to miss her, we do not grieve for her today. Because we know that at last Thursday morning at 6:05, I was sitting by her bed as she took her last breath in this life. In that moment, Grandma opened her eyes to her Savior, Jesus Christ, where there was no more pain and no more suffering. And so this afternoon, I want to comfort you, family and friends, with the only means of real and true comfort that we can find. Look, memories are beautiful. Stories are wonderful, but they're fleeting and they will not comfort us in the way that the truth of God's Word, as the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, uses it to do for us. And so I want to comfort us with the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word is true comfort. The Bible has a lot to say about death. It has a lot to say about death. And we know from Scripture in Genesis chapter 3 that all of death exists because sin exists in this world. And physical death is a raw and sobering reminder that Christ has not yet returned and that sin has still plagued this world. But for the believer, by the grace of God, the Bible gives us multiple perspectives upon death, especially the death of a follower of Jesus Christ, the death of a saint. And so I would like to just give you three of those perspectives this morning by way of comfort and closure. First, I want you to understand that the Bible gives us God's perspective on the death of his children. The Bible tells us in Psalm 116, 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Consider for just a moment what that psalm is saying. That adjective, precious, there in the Hebrew is often used in Scripture to describe something rare, something valuable like a gem or a precious stone, something of great worth, something of immense worth that you would take great care of and you'd hold in very high regard. That is how God sees the death of his saints. And so as Grandma approached her final moments in this life, God, the sovereign creator of all that ever is, saw her and that passing as something precious, something valuable, something of great worth. And so the psalmist is acknowledging in this psalm that the death of a child of God, a follower of Christ, a saint, it's not cold. It's not haphazard. It's not random. No, the death of a believer, the death of every believer, is a precious, valuable, worthy matter to the Lord. God puts great value and attention on the passing of one of his children. Scripture tells us that our sovereign God has created us and he has numbered each of our days according to his decree and good purposes for our lives. And so understand that Grandma's passing last week was at the right time according to God's purpose for her life. Grandma's passing last week was valuable. It was precious to the Creator and to Father God. Grandma's passing last week was precious to God because man in perfection was created to worship God in complete unity and perfection. Walking with God, talking with God, like we read of Adam in the garden in Genesis 1 and 2, and sin fractured that relationship. But when a believer is called home, they are restored to that perfect relationship and union with the Lord. And this is a precious thing to the Lord. So family and friends, take comfort today and know that Grandma's passing was precious to sovereign God and the creator of all. It was a beautiful thing. Second, the Bible gives us the perspective of the one who faces death. It was a rare thing and a blessed privilege for me to be with Grandma by her side when she took her final breath. And to know the truth of the perspective and the reality that the Bible shares with us about the believer that faces that final moment in this life. Grandma was not afraid to die. I can say that with absolute certainty. This woman did not face death with fear. She was ready. She may have feared, as we all likely do, how we will meet that end, but Grandma was not afraid of death. Like the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 1, "I believe that Grandma believed and knows now absolutely that to live is Christ and to die is gain. My desire," Paul says, "is to be with Christ, for that is better." And Grandma knows how better it is now. In the second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 6, we read that Paul says, "We are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body in this life, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Grandma was ready to be home with the Lord. She was absolutely ready. And there was nothing in this life, especially in her final moments, in this world, that could compare to eternity with Christ. For all saints, for Grandma, death is truly gain. It is absolute gain. Just like the hymn that we've often sung, and I know Grandma enjoyed it as well, "Because he lives," that final verse says, "And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives." At 6:05 a.m. last Thursday morning, when Grandma took her final breath in this life, that final war with pain was over for her. it was done. And she crossed that river, and death gave way to victory for her. So truly, her final breath in this life was ultimate gain as she opened her eyes in the presence of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grandma faced death with confidence and with joy. One of my favorite books is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. It's an allegory of the Christian life, and it depicts in vivid imagery the struggle and the race that we run as followers of Jesus Christ until we make it home to be with the Lord. And at one point in the story, as the main character named Christian and his companion Hopeful, they make it to the river, that final river that they must cross before they make it to Zion. And when they get through that river of death that runs between this life and heaven in the book, as they fight that final battle of death, they make it through the river. There are angels there in the book to escort them to the city of God, to heaven. And while we don't know, we don't even come close to knowing all of the great things that Grandma and all those who have gone before us experience, I think John Bunyan painted a beautiful picture of maybe what we can expect to see in some small way. I want to read you a quote from this. As they crossed the river, the angels met them, and they said to them, "You are going now into the paradise of God, in which you shall see the tree of life and eat of its never fading fruits. When you arrive there, you will be given white robes, and every day your walk and talk shall be with the King. And even for all the days of eternity, there you no longer will see former things such as you saw when you were in the lower region upon the earth. That is, you will never experience sorrow, sickness, affliction, or death. For the former things have passed away. Rather, you are now going to Abraham, you're going to Isaac, to Jacob, to the prophets, men whom God has taken away from the evil to come. For they are now resting upon their beds, each one walking in his righteousness." Then Christian and Hopeful asked, What will we be doing in this holy place?" To this they were given this answer: "There you must receive the comfort that results from all of your toil and have joy in place of all of your sorrow. You must reap what you have sown, even the fruit of all your prayers and tears and sufferings for the King along the way. In that place you will wear crowns of gold and enjoy the perpetual sight and vision of the Holy One. For there you shall see him as he is. There you shall also serve him continually with praise, shouting, and thanksgiving. That is he whom you desired to serve in this world, though with much difficulty because of the weakness of your flesh. There your eyes shall be delighted with seeing, and your ears with hearing the pleasant voice of the Mighty One. There you shall enjoy your friends again who have arrived there before you. And in the same way, there you shall joyfully welcome everyone who follows after you in that holy place. You will also be clothed with glory and majesty, and appropriately equipped to ride out with the King of Glory. In the future, when he shall come with the sound of the trumpet, in the clouds, as upon the wings of the wind, you shall come with him. And when he returns to the city again, you shall go with him with the sound of the trumpet and be with him forevermore." That may just be a glimpse of what Grandma is getting now and what she's experiencing now. But family and friends, understand this: Grandma is in the best place. Grandma is in the greatest place. She knows perfection and peace that we can't even fathom in the presence of Christ today. For Grandma, death was gain. The final perspective I want to give you this morning is the perspective the Bible gives all of us who have to go on without our loved ones in this life. As we have this harsh reminder of the reality of death before us, as we consider this now and in the days to come, I want to tell you the Bible gives us great hope on our perspective of death as we see it before us today. And that is that we have hope in the face of death. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4 of believers doing the same thing that maybe some of us are doing here today, wondering what happened to those who died before Christ's return. And the Apostle Paul writes, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. For you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, and the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. Please understand that in Jesus Christ, there is great hope in the face of death. And because of that hope, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. In Christ, we know that this is only goodbye for a little while. In Christ, we know and can be assured with a blessed God-given assurance that one day we will be where Grandma is. And that one day when Jesus returns in glorious victory over all of his enemies, that the dead in Christ will rise and the rest will meet him in the sky. And salvation will be complete and we will be glorified and in the presence of Jesus forevermore. In Christ, we have a hope in the face of death. In Christ, we know that it is not death to die. The Heidelberg Catechism asks a question as a matter of teaching. And the question is, what is our only hope and comfort in this life? And the simple answer to that question is this: Christ is our only hope and comfort in this life and in death. And the reason we have hope today as we consider Grandma's passing is because of Christ alone. You see, my favorite story about Grandma that was only mentioned briefly in the eulogy is that in 1987, God saved my grandma as she heard the gospel preached and trusted Jesus Christ by grace through faith in Christ alone. Jesus was Grandma's Savior. He was her Lord. He was her hope and he was her sustainer through all of life. And Jesus was there when she faced death and Jesus is with her forevermore. And that is why we don't grieve today with no hope. Because Grandma is more alive today than she ever was before. We miss her, but we do not grieve for her. Jesus is why death is precious to the Lord. Jesus is why death is gain to the believer. And Jesus is why we do not grieve as those who have no hope. But friends and family, hear me today. Apart from Christ in each of our lives, there is nothing precious about death. There is nothing sweet about death. There is no gain in death. There is only loss apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, there is no hope as we stare death in the face. And apart from Christ, there is no true hope in this life. It is hopeless apart from Christ. Christ is our only hope in life and death, and Jesus is the only reason that we can truly sing, "It is well with my soul." So the reality is that we will all face death one day. The Bible says in Hebrews that just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment. We will all face death one day. And on that day when we die, as we stand before the Lord in judgment, there is nothing you or I could ever do on our own that would be good enough to attain peace with God and an eternity with him. On the day that we face the reality of death, it is only by the precious blood of the slain Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that can bring us peace with God and give us an eternal hope and assurance of life in the face of physical death. And therefore, the most precious thing, the greatest gain we could ever have, the only hope we have in this life and the next is found in Christ alone. Our hope, our comfort, our joy is found in the reality that God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. The second person of the Trinity, God himself, the eternal Word of God who existed for all time in perfect harmony and community and joy with the Father and the Spirit. The one who created, who all of the created history looked forward to. The one who all of the Old Testament sacrificial system, prophets, priests, and kings, and judges were but shadows and types of. Jesus Christ, the one who willingly left perfection to come to earth, to take on flesh, to be born of a virgin, truly God and truly man, yet not born of Adam's seed, not bearing Adam's curse, but conceived by God the Holy Spirit. And he came to rescue Adam's race. depraved sinners, dead and lost in their sin, deserving of the just wrath of God that was stored up for us. In his earthly life, Jesus lived as we did in human flesh. He was tempted and tried in every way. He was despised and rejected by men, and yet he remained sinless. Jesus' earthly and incarnate sinless life perfected the law of God for us, the very law that you and I fall short of and are justly condemned by. In his life, he fulfilled the law for us. In Jesus' suffering, he was beaten, he was mocked, the flesh torn from his body. And in a gruesome death upon that cross, Jesus took upon himself our sin, our guilt, our shame, and paid the debt that we owed for our rebellion against a holy God. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, was slain and crushed upon the cross for our sake. And as our substitute, satisfying the wrath of God meant for us upon that cross, suffering an eternity's worth of hell upon that cross that we deserved, Jesus breathed his last breath upon the cross and he spoke the greatest words ever uttered. It is finished. And indeed it was finished because sin once and for all had been atoned for through the blood of Jesus. And as he laid in Joseph's tomb, on the third day he rose from the grave, defeating death, having crushed the head of the serpent, our ancient foe and enemy. And Jesus made a way for those enslaved in sin and death to be free from slavery and alive in him. His sinless life fulfilled the law for us. His death atoned for our sin, and his resurrection guarantees eternal life for all who believe in him by grace through faith. Jesus took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. Jesus suffered hell for us so that we may know eternal life in heaven with him. Jesus made a way for man to be reconciled with God. No longer enemies, but now adopted sons and daughters who cry, Abba, Father. This is the gospel. This is our hope. And I plead with you today as we consider death so raw and so real before us to trust in Jesus. And pass from death to life in Christ today. And know a hope in this life that transcends all of the seasons and circumstances of this life. And know a hope and assurance that faces death with victory. The victory that Jesus Christ secured for us. Trust him today. Family and friends, Grandma would have hated us talking about her as much as we have today. But I can guarantee now, as she has been over a week with her Lord and Savior in perfection, if she could say anything to us, it would be give all the attention to Jesus. Look at him with all you have. Give him your everything because he is worth it. Christ is our hope in life and death. Let me close and comfort those of us who know Christ this morning from Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Jesus Christ is our only hope. Will you trust him today? Will you pray with me? Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you again today that we don't grieve without hope, that we face death with confidence, that we have a hope that surpasses all things in this life, and it is found in Jesus Christ alone. Father, I pray that we all here today would experience what Grandma experienced in 1987 and experienced just a week ago, Lord, when she stepped into eternity because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May that be true for everyone today. Father, as we conclude this time, and we continue to go on with that absence of Grandma not being there, God, would you comfort us? Your Holy Spirit is the comforter. You are the God of all comfort. And would you hold these family and friends in your righteous right hand, Lord? Would you give us the peace that passes all understanding, that guards our heart and minds in Christ Jesus? And would we be assured that because of Jesus Christ, we will see Grandma again for those of us who love you and are called according to your purposes. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this precious lady that means so much to us. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.